Good morning. Our first Bible lesson is Exodus 17:1 through 7, and it's on page 61. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb, so that strike the rock and the water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so, and in the sight of the elders of Israel, he called the place Massah and Merib, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now please turn to 8:14 for Psalm 95 for our responsive reading. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise of songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great ruler above all gods, and whose hands are in the depths of the earth and also the heights of the mountains.
The sea belongs to God, and they made it, and the dry land because God formed it.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God. Hear the voice of the Lord today. Harden not your hearts as at Merib, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your forebears tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I lived in the generation and said, 'They are a people who err in heart, and they do not regard my doings.' Therefore I swore in my anger that they would not be my rest."
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 145 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible and on page 188 if you're using the large print edition. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the lengthy gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. It's on page 89 in your pew. The pew Bible. And if you're looking at the large print edition, it's on page 115 of the New Testament. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything that I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, when you think about it, our Bible lessons today have a lot to do with water and thirst and drinking and thriving. We're struck by this idea of thirst. Biologists tell us that about 60% of our human bodies are composed of water. So it is obviously a very important element for life. It is so important that depending upon the conditions, you can only live for about 3 to 5 days without any water. And that got me thinking. How long can a person live without Jesus Christ? As the Israelites wandered through the wilderness, they camped at a place that didn't have water. They were thirsty, and they used this as an excuse to test Moses and to test God. They called God's faithfulness into question. The Samaritan woman had come to Jacob's well to draw water to sustain her own life when she met Jesus, who was himself thirsty. So many people today, both inside and outside the church, are spiritually thirsty. They thirst for a life of meaning and purpose. They yearn for the answers to questions about life and love and ultimate destiny. They can sense deep down that there is more to life than what they've been living so far, and yet they cannot quench this wrenching thirst. So they drink deeply of all the distractions that the secular world offers so seductively. Television and movies and the internet. Rich food and drugs and alcohol. Electronic toys like smartphones and tablet computers. The endless pursuit of money and sex and power, property and control. And yet, despite all of that drinking in of life's pleasures, we cannot quench this wrenching thirst. I believe that one reason this gospel story from John is so universally compelling is because that nearly all of us can see herself or himself in the character of the Samaritan woman. Do you see a similarity? Have you ever felt like an outcast, like somebody who doesn't belong, like a sinner whose deepest, darkest secrets you would really rather hide from God? Have you ever suffered and found yourself crying through a sleepless night? Have you ever wondered if Jesus really is who he says he is, the Son of God? The true Messiah. It is to you that Jesus speaks. Everyone who drinks of this worldly water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up into eternal life. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Paul understood what it is that you have gone through in your life, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. My sisters and brothers, you can live for about 3 to 5 days without any water. But how long can a person live, truly live and thrive without Jesus Christ? Jesus is calling each of us to drink deeply of the living water that he offers. And just like the Samaritan woman did, you will be moved to share with others the story of how Jesus quenched your thirst and transformed your life. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Alleluia. Amen.